get hot water because that would cause a bit of a problem. But this is the place in the church where there is no heat. You may see it behind me. It's not touching me here. So, I'm going to take the bull by the horns this morning. Push the boat out, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to launch into a theme that we will be doing a series on in the coming weeks and months. The subject of prayer. Something that we speak of maybe more than we actually do. If you think of prayer in a formal way, of sitting in a meeting with other people and praying into what is on the agenda. Or a formal way, in a way of interceding for the nations and for our neighbours as we sit in church, as we already have done this morning. And we say amen to the prayers prayed from the front of church by someone who is appointed to lead on behalf of the people. That wonderful coming together, that corporate and united prayer. I'm not knocking any of this. Is this going on and off? No, it's okay. It's just me hearing it. That's all right. I'm not knocking any of this. Of course not. I absolutely love corporate gatherings where we come together and we share our hearts together. And you know that that's when we get to know each other because we get to hear each other's hearts. But it's when we get to know God's heart as well. I want to impart to you why I am so passionate about prayer, why I endeavour to put prayer at the beginning of my day and in the middle and during all of the mix of everything that goes on. I know that you'll forgive me if you've heard me say anything of what I'm going to say this morning, whatever I'm going to share. If you'll have heard it before, then, yeah, forgive me because I'm going to say it again. Some things are worth hearing again. Repeating again and again. Not because I like to hear myself say it, but I feel that some of what I have to say is from God's heart. So I'm here to hopefully impart that to you. In this series on prayer, we're going to cover much of what you're going to see on the slides, which are in no particular order. So don't think that there's any... I'm just wondering if the transitions are going to work. Possibly not. There's not any kind of order to what I've got on the screens. These are just things that are going to be covered. Ah, that almost worked. So, intercessory. I want to go back. Intercessory prayer, the first thing. What we've already done. We've turned and we've faced different ways. We've thought of those things that are on God's heart for our nation, for people groups, for situations. We've come to him and we've prayed into those things. That we're going to touch a lot on intercessory prayer because everything that we pray really comes into that. Because we're interceding for others. It's that coming into a place and standing in the gap for others and praying for them. I'm not going to go into great detail on all of these because that's not what this is about. I just want to give you a preparation for what's to come. So, prophetic prayer. We're going to demystify prophecy. A lot of people hear prophecy, prophetic, and they kind of go, oh, well, that's for special people in the church. That's for the fivefold ministry people, those who are assigned as prophets within the church. But do you know, prophecy is about hearing God's heart and relaying it. So we're going to demystify it, bring some light to what it means to have dreams and visions and words from God by the Holy Spirit. Oh, is this doing it on its own? Authority in prayer. And it's in completely different order to what I've got on my notes, so it really has messed it up. Authority in prayer. So, declarative prayers. Do you know that we have all authority because Jesus has given us authority to declare things as were have already been done in heaven? Those words that he's already spoken in heaven, we can declare them here on earth for them to come into being. Prayer for healing comes into this quite a lot. When we know that God's going to heal somebody of something, because it says so in his word, and because we have that word of knowledge, maybe something in our heart that we know that God is saying, I'm going to heal that. And we can declare to that condition for it to go. We have the authority. I'm not going to go again into a great depth on that because we're going to have a whole Sunday service about healing prayer and declarative prayer. So know that you have authority, that when you come before God, you're standing there before him because he's appointed you to stand there before him. He has given you all that you need to pray into a situation and see him make changes in that situation, bring transformation. Creativity in prayer. Well, we can think of creativity as praying through painting, praying through dance, using different ways of expressing ourselves. And I can tell you that those who are not necessarily creatives may kind of go, yeah, well, whatever. I'd rather sit and read my prayers. Thank you. I don't want to do it that way. But we're not going to be looking necessarily at different creative ways of praying. We're going to be talking about being creative in our creativity, if that makes sense. Possibly not. We're going to look at new ways of praying. There's always a new way because as we go through life, things change with us. I've changed. I'm not this tall anymore, or I'm not sitting there sucking my thumb anymore. I'm a different person. And so as you progress through life, there are different ways that you want to pray because there's a different expression of who you are and your relationship with God that you need to embrace as you pray. We'll look at some of the old ways as well. Do you know how wonderful it is to have a candle? I sat there nearly all day yesterday before the Lord, preparing this sermon with a candle burning. And every time I lost my focus and went off on, oh, I really think I ought to have some food now, or whatever it was that nudged me, I looked at the candle. It was there, and it refocused me on the purpose of my sitting still before God. So those old ways, that's an ancient way of prayer. Monks sitting in cells, in cold white cells, because that was a way that they could focus on praying. I'm not suggesting we all go and get a cold white cell. In fact, we've got one a little bit here, haven't we? We know what cold is. What's the next one? No. Jesus' prayer. What comes to mind when you see Jesus' prayer? For some, it will be what we've already prayed. It will be the Lord's Prayer. Isn't that Jesus' prayer? Telling God who he is. Acknowledging his glory, his might, his power, and our need for him. Yes, but that was the disciples' prayer. That's the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples so that they could connect with Father God, so that they could come close to him. And the whole process during that prayer is a process of connecting with God and coming close, laying down the things, making sure that evil's not in the way, that sin isn't in the way. It's a great prayer. But that's not what I mean by Jesus' prayer. Jesus' prayer is what he did. Do you know he went off? He disappeared. I'm sure that the disciples were looking around saying, oh, he's gone again. Where is he this time? Oh, there he is. He's up on the hill. I can see him. It's okay. He'll be back. He took himself away from people so that he could just be with Father God. Jesus' prayer was a solitary prayer, a prayer where he went and he listened to what God was saying, what Father was saying. And he said, didn't he, I only do what I see Father doing. I only say what Father's saying. The only way that he could know that was by listening. And so he would take himself away and listen. Also, there's John 17, one of my favourite chapters. I've already preached recently on that, so I won't go into it. But there's that wonderful prayer where Jesus prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for all of us, all that are to come. Isn't that incredible that way back there, before the cross, Jesus was already praying for us, that we would be one with him where he is, in perfect unity. Oh, that didn't work. I think that says worship and praise. We've had the most amazing time this morning being led in worship. And we've praised God. I actually brought the song list up with me so that I could look at some of the words. And you're like, worthy. God, you are worthy. To actually turn our focus on him so that he is our focus. To seek his face so that everything that comes from our hearts has already come from his. You know, there's that coming in unison together to say, praise you, Jesus, we love you, for him to know who we are. Do you know that praise opens the way for us to come into his presence? Praise opens the door so that we can come in. If you want to get God's attention, say help. He'll always hear that. If you want to know his presence, praise him. Praise him. He will come and reside with you and spend that time with you. I just want to say about praise and worship for me. It was years ago, and this is a bit some of you will already have heard. It was many, many years ago. I'd not long been a Christian. I was slowly beginning to learn about what worship was and what prayer was. And God answered a prayer, and I wasn't aware that I'd even prayed it. And God said, yes, you have. Every time as you were driving your children to school, you were singing this song. It was this song. It was by Martin Smith and Delirious. I can't remember which song it was. But the words of that song, it seemed to be that that song was the one that was always on the tape, because it was only one tape I had in those days, tape, you know, that, do you remember those things? Some of you won't even know what tape is. But it would always have come round to that song when I got into the car. I don't know how it happened. Might be God. So always as I'm driving up Kevin Llan, there would be this song and I would be singing it. And God highlighted that to me and said, reminded me that I had prayed every time I sang that song. It was a praise and worship song, and every time I sang it, I was praying. And God answered my prayer without me even knowing. He kind of elicited it from my heart, and he answered the prayer. Praise is the highway to the throne of God. Praise is the highway to the heart of God. Praise is the highway to a move of God. That's part of a song. I've nicked those words. Next. Oh, that took a big long circle round. Prayer and fasting. It's something that people don't really like to talk about quite a lot. I remember the days with Stuart where regularly he would call a day of prayer and fasting. There would be something sulfurous, he would say. And he knew that we needed to get on it and, excuse the expression, but kick butt. And so we would have a day of prayer and fasting where we would deny ourselves for the day and pray to God. Now, we're going to unpack where the power is in that. There is great power in fasting and prayer. In Matthew 17, there's an account that follows the transfiguration when Jesus has come down from the mountain. And there's an incident with an epileptic boy, and the disciples had been there, and they'd been trying to cast out this demon, and nothing was happening. It was thrashing the boy around and throwing him in the fire, and the father was pretty desperate by this time. And Jesus came, and he cast out the demon, and the boy was healed. And his disciples came to him and said, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't, we were saying all of that, but why couldn't we do it? And he said, this type comes out only with prayer and fasting. A lot of Bible translations don't put the fasting bit. This time kind only comes out with prayer. But they would have been praying. There was something extra. There's an extra dimension. And that's released, that power that's released in fasting. Denying earthly pleasures for heavenly reward. Using scriptures. This goes well together with prophetic prayer and declarative prayer. We know what your word says, Lord God. This is what your word says. We're holding you to it. It's not blackmailing God, but it's saying we're speaking into the heavenly realms. This is what God's word says. And you can pray through scriptures. You can use them. If you want more, I'm sure that's still online. There's the prayer course that we did as a church on a Tuesday night. There was a lot there about praying in scriptures. But we will hear more. Then, prayer for healing. I've already touched on that with prophetic prayer or declarative prayer. There will be a whole session on that. We believe in this church that God heals. Is that okay? Is that right? Do we agree? We know that he heals. He's a God who heals today. That the stuff that happened when Jesus walked on earth is still going on. In fact, it said that greater things, Jesus said, greater things than these will you do in my name. So there's more to be done. And he's ongoing. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So he's still doing all these things. I just want to share with you very briefly a testimony that was, there's a few actually. There was a testimony on our Facebook page that I read the other day. The St. Mike's Facebook page. A visitor had come and she spent a service with us. And she said how every time she comes, she feels the presence of God here. And then, I can't remember her exact wording, but to top it off, to even make it more, she came up for communion that day and God healed her back. God is in the business of healing. When we're not expecting it, quite often, he will heal, he will touch and change people's lives. So he heals, now this way, now another. What stands in the way often is us. We're expecting God to heal or answer our prayers in a certain way. And in our time frame. My first healing experience was in Soul Survivor. It was Manchester 2000, a massive gathering in the MEN arena. I can't remember, is that what it's called? Great Big Graham, MEN? Yes, thank you. I needed somebody from Manchester to confirm that. And there were people who'd come, it was the end of the week, and there were people who'd come to the gathering from all over Manchester, all over the area. And at the end of one of this service, there was a call for healing. If anybody needed healing of any kind, I can't remember exactly how they did it, but please stand up. And we're up on the balcony, and I see a girl over there who stands up. And I was on team, and so team members go and pray for the people who are standing up. So I went off, and I went up to this girl, and I asked her, what is it that you need healing for? And she said, well, I was in a car crash about 5 years ago. And ever since then, I've been in agony. I had damage to my spine and it's not been put right. It's still, I still have a lot of pain. So I said, yes, that's great. And I'm thinking, oh, help. God, you're going to have to do this because I can't do anything. What do I do? And so I just asked if I could lay hands on her back and I did. And as I had my hands on her back and prayed, I felt movement under my hand. I could feel her vertebra moving under my hand. And I can tell you, I wanted to take my hand off. I was quite freaked out by this experience. But I held it there and I kept on praying until it stopped. And this girl, she kind of stood up straight. And then she started doing all the stuff, you know, like to moving around. touching her toes, I can't remember it, but she did all of the stuff that she couldn't do before. Her back was completely healed and she had no more pain. And all I'd done was be obedient to those people, go and pray. And I went over there and I, hello, and she was healed. It was God who did it. But do you know, I was changed from that moment on. It was like, you got a pain? Yeah, can I pray? You get a hold of what God is doing and that's what you want to do. You see what he's doing and he says, come and partner with me. Come and do this with me. Come and have some fun with me. See what I'm doing and join in. I've got too many stories. I'm going to have to cut that one. The command to pray. Okay, Jesus didn't say to his disciples, it's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he didn't say, if you pray. What did he say? When you pray. He said, when you pray. So it's a command. You could say it's an assumption, but God doesn't make assumptions because he knows that he says what he says goes. So he commands and we do. So he's given us the tools. He's given us the ability to do it. He's given us of his Holy Spirit so that we can hear what he's saying and do what he does. Fact is, we are to pray. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Tell him about it. He wants to know. He already knows, but he wants you to share that with him so that you can hear what his word is on that. Something missing there. Okay, maybe it's coming next. An answered prayer. What is that? What is a prayer that's not answered? I believe that it's us not necessarily listening for Father's heart, not seeing his face, not seeking his righteousness first, his way. We know that he's a father who loves us, desires the very best for us. So he doesn't ignore our prayers. Sometimes he'll say no. Sometimes he'll say wait. Sometimes it's not yet. Or not in your way, but in mine. He doesn't not answer prayer. That's a double negative. Which is right, he does answer prayer. The perfect Father who made the most perfect sacrifice so that we can be made whole. Why would he not want the best for us? This is what Matthew 7 verses 7 to 11 says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. We have a good Father who loves us completely. He never doesn't answer prayer, but it's not always in our way. There's one that's disappeared from there. I'm trying to think if it's hiding. I don't want it to go on to the next slide, but no, I'll just tell you what it is. Our part in prayer. Our part is to listen and believe. Jesus took himself off and listened to what Father was saying. When we come into a place of prayer, we're to listen. It's not just for us to tell God what we want. Yes, he wants to know that. But he wants us to listen. It's conversation. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who never shuts up? Like if you were trying to have a conversation with me now, that wouldn't be a conversation, would it? Because I'm talking to you. I'm not listening to you. God wants us to listen to him. so that we can hear what's on his heart. So that's by way of a taster. So that's just the introduction. Can you see how long this sermon's going to be? Oh, dear. But it represents my heart for prayer, for time spent in Father's presence, feeling and hearing his heartbeat. It's his heartbeat we want to hear, his beating heart. That's basically what I'm going to speak a little more on this morning. Sorry, I've not stopped yet. I've called the theme for this morning's sermon Prayers from Heaven, but I think it's probably going to be the theme overarching the rest of the series. It's when we come close to God that he comes close to us. Draw near, he says, and I'll draw near to you. In such a way that we are able to pray those things that are on his heart. That which has been purposed in heaven, his kingdom come here on earth. So before I launch into the next bit, let's pray. Father, thank you for your heart. Thank you for the way that you share your heart with us. You've done that over the ages. And we come to you now and ask for open hearts. Lord, that we will come to a place of opening a new door. Come to you in praise and open the door to the more that you have for us in this subject of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we had, I don't know, is this going to work? Oh, look, our part in prayer has just appeared. Just to let you know, I do this on an Apple computer and then I have to transfer it to a PowerPoint. And so I had all these wonderful, I'm not sure what that's doing, I have all these wonderful snazzy effects that I put on and then it transfers and it does weird things. So sorry about that. That was supposed to be a beautiful flashing light that kind of went shh across the screen. Didn't work. Never mind. So let's look at 2 Chronicles 7. We had read 13 to 15, but just that specific verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What an incredible promise God's given to us. Let's unpack it. If my people, who's God talking about here? It's an Old Testament. Obviously, this is Old Testament. So he's speaking to the people of Israel. God's own people who time and time and time again turned away and turned their backs on God. My people. He still calls them my people. Those who are called by his name, Yahweh. They're known by him. This word, Yahweh, was so precious, so holy that they couldn't say it. So they took the vowels out and made it YHWH, Yahweh. It was an unpronounceable, unspeakable name. So in the scriptures, God's name got changed to Lord with capital letters. If you look through your Old Testament, you'll find every time that God is referred to, it's Lord in capital letters. Adonai, the God who was and is to come, the one who we call Emmanuel. God with us, Jesus, the one who's with us. We are called by his name, Christians. Those who are set apart, different, made in his image and being made to be more like him. We, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, are his people. That's good news, eh? Salvation was for the Jews first, but not exclusively. The Gentiles received the baptism of John and subsequently the baptism of fire. We hear about that in Acts. We are they. We are those who are baptized in repentance. We go into the waters. We come up clean. We go through death. We come up alive. And then we have the baptism of fire, the Holy Spirit. We are those who Jesus prayed for in his high priestly prayer in John 17. Father, I would that they would be with me where I am. Where is Jesus right now? He who wants us to be with him where he is, where is he right now? Well, he's seated with the Father in heavenly realms, and we are in him as believers, those who have been brought close by his blood through the cross. We are in him. We're brought so close to him, in him, that we can hear his heartbeat. We may need to tune our ears to hear his heartbeat. You can perhaps imagine it, that steady, regular heartbeat of the Father. And I tell you, when I run, do I run? Hannah Green says, oh, Linda, you're always running. It's because I'm always rushing. That's not necessarily running, but I don't often run. But when I do run, it's never very far. My heart becomes stronger and faster. And I'm able to hear it. And those of you who know physiology will know what it's called. I'm looking at Diane. She'll know exactly what these things are called. Arteries, or whatever they are, taking the oxygenated blood to the brain. Is that right? When your heart beats harder, you can kind of feel it, can't you? But in feeling it, you kind of hear it as well. There's a shum, 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 shum. And you hear it. And it's a bit like that with Father's heart. You're feeling it and you're kind of hearing it. Hearing God's heart is like that strange sensation that we have. Some of you will get this. Not everyone will. Coming so close to God that you can even feel his breath on your cheek. Let's have a look at this picture. This is a picture of my son-in-law, Monday, and our grandson, Josiah, when he was only a few days old. I love this picture. To settle down and sleep, this is where he loved to be. You know where his head is? It's resting on Father's heart. This is where his daddy loved him to be as well. Where he could hear the steady heartbeat of his Father. When we draw near to God, as we have through worship this morning, we're given access to come this close to our Heavenly Father. The cross of Calvary has opened the way, and we come through it with praise. When we sing with our hearts tuned into God, he tunes into us and opens up his heart so that we can hear. It's the place where we just want to be still and stay and rest and listen. There are some mornings when we meet in the well for times of prayer, 5 mornings a week, that we just want to be still and know the Lord's presence. Yesterday was like that. We prayed little but communed much. We talked before reading the word and about how through difficult times we grow and our faith is proved. Then as we sat in his presence, the Lord gave me a picture of cake ingredients. It was a bit odd, but he then gave me an interpretation of these cake ingredients. Every ingredient is unpalatable, most of them anyway. So would you actually eat a spoonful of flour? No. Or baking powder, or bicarb of soda. Raw egg. Blech. What else? Oh, butter. It's lovely, you know, on bread or on toast. But you wouldn't want to eat a chunk of it, would you? Wouldn't be very palatable. And sugar, if you really just ate that sugar, it wouldn't be very nice. But when you put them all in together and you mix them all together, they're beaten together. And then you put them in the oven. They're put into the heat. They're put into the fire. What comes out is palatable, is something of beauty. And it's that when God deals with us, when he takes us through some of the processes he takes us through in life, and we go through the fire, what comes out is far more beautiful. All of the pain and suffering becomes something of praise and worship to him. When we come close to God, he shows us his wonders, as he did to me yesterday. And I believe that he, when I shared that with others, the Holy Spirit spoke to those who were there also. So as we humble ourselves before him, he shares his heart. And we feel his heartbeat. He says, repent. In what we've said earlier, repent, for the kingdom of God is close at hand. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Repent. Repentance is so important. There's no place for pride and self-reliance when we come close to our Emmanuel. He can't embrace sin. And it's our sin that bars the way into his presence. But as I've already said, his cross has opened the way. All we have to do is repent. Turn from our wicked ways. He will hear from heaven those prayers that we prayed, which were elicited from heaven, from his heart, returning to him. And when he hears, he forgives, he heals, he restores, and he transforms. This is why I'm so passionate about prayer. Because it's coming close to the God who transforms when he hears our hearts and when we hear his. My passion for prayer is grounded in my passion for the presence of God to be manifested in his church, in his people, and in his world. As I lay my head on his chest and come into line with the rhythm of his heartbeat, that is prayer. That is my prayer. I hope this helps to expand your knowledge of prayer. I know that the series will do that. Amen.